greet you in Jesus' name this evening. It is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to have that introduction. And I guess I can't say that I've been introduced by my son like that before. But thank the Lord for that. Thank to you and Woodlawn here for giving Malachi and Stacy a very good home. As a child coming here, I always, one fond memory, one thing that sticks with me that has actually changed or influenced my life quite dramatically is that whenever I met Elmer, he would know my name. And as a young boy, that was very, very meaningful. And I, in a sense, have taken that as also something that I work at. Malachi said, retired as a minister, just to ease your curiosity. This morning was the first service as Maple Lawn Mennonite Church instead of Maple Lawn Amish Mennonite Church. That is the name that the Fairview Whistler Church has given. And this morning was their first service, and where we filled a few benches, the church house was well filled. And I mentioned to someone, or to quite a few people, as we consider what transpired in Maple Lawn, as we were small in numbers, and through God's work, we had the opportunity to give the church property, the cemetery, to Fairview Whistler Church, which was looking to build a church within just a few miles of us. And so that transition is in process, and they are working through their transition of their large congregation now meeting in two places, and each of us at Maple Lawn integrating into where God leads each of us. And I can only look back, along with our whole congregation, in awe of what God has done. And we find it a great blessing. I'm going to say I can't write a book on it, because the situation would probably be different for you or for anybody else. But we can only see it as God's work. And thank and praise him for that. We welcome and just feel in the middle of God's hand. Didn't know that at my age I would be looking where to join a congregation, but God has provided well till today. So, for a message this evening, we want to look to God, what he has for us. And I've been curious all my life. In fact, I think sometimes it'd be better if Linda would drive so I could satisfy my curiosity. And it's good that she keeps her eye open. Message tonight is not your salvation message. Elmer said a little bit that you had some of that this morning. This is a message for after the foundation has been laid. You love the Lord, you want to serve God. And there's different things that I've asked the Lord questions about and wondered, well, Lord, could I understand this? And turn to Mark chapter 9, and we'll actually see a setting where this comes to pass. And the Lord finds key times in my life to answer those questions when I need them, when I need the answers, and they bring them at key times in my life. And here in Mark chapter 9, there was in verse 14, it says, "And he came to his disciples, and he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them." And it goes on down, and Verse 17 says, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. So we have a problem situation there, and we have this man coming to Jesus and saying, I've got a son, he's got a problem, and your disciples have a problem because they couldn't help him. Through what happened there, and I'll let you read that, we come to verse 24, or verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We love that verse. And then verse 24, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And many of us, and of you, at least my cry has often been to God, Lord, how do I believe? How do I grow in my faith? How, and you know, it's easy to say, well, just have more faith. And you know, there's some things in life that are just kind of questionable. It's like they say that when you know that you're humble, you've lost it. And it's like what Mom used to say, if you want to do it, you don't have to. And there's some things like that that sometimes in our mind just ring and we wonder, well, what is it? And here this man was right up against there and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How do we relate to that? Solomon was so wise when those two women came and both of them had babies, the one died, and then he was supposed to decide to it. And I just admire that wisdom of the intuition that he had of that situation when he said, well, bring me a sword, we'll cut the baby in half. And the one mother said, no, don't do it. And the other said, go ahead and do it. And we see how that our natural intuition at times is there. And I pray that God would continue to give that. I've always wondered, how do we gain more faith? How do we believe more or better than what we do normally? And I've had that prayer for quite some time. Not too long ago, Marvin Beachy was at our church for Sunday morning. And in passing in his message, he says that if you want more faith, love. And that wasn't the tone of his message at all. He said it in passing, and it sparked within my mind, and I started to study and to look, what does that mean? What does that mean? And the definition that I have put together here that we want to expand on in several different, you can call them rabbit trails, different ways, is faith comes by love. And I want you to remember that as we look at different aspects of that. And probably as I looked at tangible examples of that. Now, quite a few of you are married here this evening. Some that may be contemplating that, but you understand that relationship. And when you've found an individual, for you men, when you saw that girl that piqued your interest, that you wondered, well, would she be the one that I could commit my life to and with and live with? And you did not then just go and live your own life and forget about it. You actually intentionally, nervously asked for that first date. And the process, you wanted to spend time with her. You wanted to learn to know her. You wanted to develop a love. Because in your mind, this was a person. And lots of people have already asked me, well, Dad, or he said, when am I old enough to date? And I said, whenever you find a person that will draw you closer to God when you're married than if you stay single. So as you dated your girlfriend, Or for you ladies as well, as you dated your husband, as you came together, you wanted to be together more and more and more. And that trust came to the point that one day you nervously, today you would get down on one knee and you would ask her and say, would you? And the culmination of that, the engagement, the wedding, the marriage, and the living together, and you become to understand that the more time you spend together, the deeper the love, the more you trust that person, the more that you put yourself into that. And that's one of the close examples that we can look at tonight about that faith comes by love. And you wonder, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm saying that when we read and study the Bible, when we get to know God better, we trust Him more. When we admire His creation, when we see what He's done. Even to Job, when Job wanted to see God, God explained to him creation. We appreciate His salvation. That morning when you have your devotion and you just come to that scripture that brings you to admire the salvation, the willingness that God had to come and to give us salvation, the gift He gave Himself. We talk about exercise, and I'm going to give you exercise tonight. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. The topic is scattered throughout the New Testament. I did put them in order so that you can follow through. But I was very surprised in developing the answer that God gave, that faith comes by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. A few more pages, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. One more page, chapter 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. 1 Thessalonians 1. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Breastplate of faith and love. The thing that protects our vitals. The thing that protects our heart. Must be an important ingredient. Faith and love together. That protects our heart from the enemy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Put some together there. There's a working together there. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The faith and love. 2 Timothy chapter... Okay, that was that one. James chapter 2. This is the eighth one. You wondered how many. This is the eighth time that it talks about God's love, or loving God, and faith. In James 2, verse 5, Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? The interlinking of love with him. And if you, like I wonder, well, is love maybe the same way as faith? You know, is it just something that we gain? But the same way that you see dating couples, courting, spending time together and doing what they do and learning to know each other and wanting to know each other is an example for us to want to know the Lord. And as you examine, as I examine my life in the past, as I spend time in his word, looking at what he has to say to me, my trust in him increases. Ephesians 6 says, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's similar to the breastplate of love and faith and love. And so we see that we have our love to God increases our faith. But that's not the only love that God talks about. Let's start our run again. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. God also talks about love and faith to our fellow saints. Ephesians 1. Verse 15, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So love and faith to God, but love amongst our brethren also increases our faith. Gives us a trust in each other, and as we trust each other, we can trust God. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. It's a love amongst brethren. Titus chapter 3, verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And one more in Philemon chapter 1, verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and toward all saints. Actually, I have another one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Sorry, it was supposed to be 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest... Sorry, I'm in Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And we wouldn't be done without going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love chapter that talks about charity, that talks about though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and I'm really not worth anything, and I'm actually not fun to listen to. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. If we have all the faith and don't have charity, he says we're nothing. So we need both to be what he would quote, be something. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. And then in the last verse he says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So actually love is going to last longer than the faith, because someday our faith will be in consummation. We'll see what God has for us in hope as well. Let's notice in verse 2 where he says, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. I've written down here that love is forgiveness and forgiveness is love. Love is forgiveness and forgiveness is love. And we often think of the scripture in Mark. Verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. We're going to spend a little bit of time here in Mark. And as you think that we have faith to move all mountains, verse 22 in Mark chapter 11 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. But before that, we notice that he's talking in verse 24. Actually, let's read in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but he shall believe that those things which he hath, which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, we notice the verse here that if you pray that this mountain be removed into the sea, and we notice that in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 2 as well. But we see that he doesn't expand. God doesn't expand on that subject of prayer moving the mountain. And I know we have interpreted it in many different ways, and tonight I'm going to take it just a little bit in a different way than what I have seen it in the past. We looked at scriptures that faith and love for the brethren, love increases our faith to God and amongst each other. But he goes on to talk about verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. As we relate amongst each other, as we have love amongst each other, one of the biggest things that comes up is forgiveness, right? And Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. Let me read you Micah 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the seas, of the sea. Love is forgiveness, and forgiveness is love. And oh, when we feel God's forgiveness for our life, we feel the cleansing, we feel it's so good, and it's just a feeling that we'd like to relish and keep. And Jesus in Matthew and throughout his teaching, he said, what's important is that if I forgive you, you do what? Forgive each other. And are we willing to give our brother's mountain of sin to be cast into the sea? That's what God does to our sin, he tells us in Micah. Twice in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sorry, just once, and then he talks about it afterward. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And so our love to the brotherhood makes a difference and has an impact on our faith to God. I like the thought that not only did God cast my mountain of sin into the sea, but he cast my brother's mountain of sin into the sea as well. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Faith and love. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. We like the thought of our love amplifies our faith in God. We like the thought that God loves me, God loves us. And I often bask in that God loves me, he forgives me. We enjoy that to no end. Annie Johnson Flint is my favorite poet. Her history of rheumatoid arthritis from the age of 19. Testimony of her life is that after the age of 20, she did not have a day without pain for the next 40 years. Her poetry exemplifies that, but very little about herself. She wrote this poem, The World's Bible. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with work other than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help them and hasten his return? We enjoy God's love. We just got done looking at our love to God increases our faith. Our love amongst brethren increases our faith. We enjoy God's love to us. Do we increase God's faith in us? If God loves us and he has faith that we are the world's Bible, like this poem says, it kind of puts a different twist on my life. That it isn't so much about me, but it's fulfilling the faith that God has in me. I enjoy his love. Can I keep his faith pure in me? Will I be that person that is his Bible to the world? So the love and faith that we want toward God, can we reciprocate that and have God's love and faith in us? We are his Bible that the world reads. C.S. Lewis grew up as in a religious household that followed the Church of Ireland, but became an atheist during his teenage years. He eventually came back to Christianity while teaching at Oxford University, in part due to influence from his close friend and fellow author J.R.R. Tolkien. Lewis went on to pen some of the most impactful writings on Christianity of the 20th century. Here are some of Lewis's most enlightening works on Christianity and faith. The worldly man treats certain people kindly because he likes them. The Christian, trying to treat everyone kindly, finds him liking more and more people as he goes on, including people he could not even have imagined himself liking at the beginning. Our love spreads as we practice God's love. For you will certainly carry out God's purpose however you act, but it makes a difference to you whether you serve like Judas or like John. But God will look to every soul like its first love because he is its first love. Your place in heaven will seem to be made for you and you alone because you were made for it. Made for it, stitch by stitch, as a glove is made for a hand. He who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Share your love. As we look at developing that love within our lives, like I said, I don't want it to be such that you think, well, is that something that God just gives me one day? Oswald Chambers said this: an intellectual conception of God may be found in a bad, vicious character. I'll say that again. An intellectual conception of God may be found in a bad, vicious character. The knowledge and vision of God is dependent entirely on a pure heart. Character determines the revelation of God to the individual. The pure in heart shall see God. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We shouldn't be surprised if that person down the street that doesn't love God doesn't understand. Because the pure in heart, they shall see God. And so our effort is to keep our heart pure, to keep and understand and develop that love. Let's sing the first verse of Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Keep your heart pure with God. The pure in heart shall see God. Be ruthless with yourself if you are given to talking about the experiences you have had. Faith is sure of itself is not faith. Faith that is sure of God is the only faith there is. That's Oswald Chambers. Faith that is sure of itself is not faith. Faith that is sure of God is the only faith there is. when you saw that girl and you decided that you wanted to pursue her and you wanted to get to know her better, you wanted to date her, you wanted to eventually trust your life in marriage with her. Jesus said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." His love for us, his faith that we do his work here. Just this past week, I saw the saying, fear ends where faith begins. Fear ends where faith begins. One more scripture, Psalm 34. Turn to it. This is your prescription. As your faith at times is weak like mine is, you wonder, how do I garner, how do I increase that? Verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." My paraphrase of that verse is, I loved the Lord and he heard me and he gave me all my faith. Turn to Psalm 34 when your faith is weak, and you'll see that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the whole psalm will take you to appreciating God and what he's done for us. Psalm 139 is very right there with it. It's what takes our heart into seeing God's love for us, and it increases my faith that what I need, God can do. It's given me, in a sense, a new lease on life and the difficult things that we've worked through in the past year or two and three, to know that God is here, and through his love and faith, both me to him and his to me will take us where he wants us to go. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us. And in reciprocation, Lord, we give our love to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand how to develop that love and faith, and that it might solidify what we can do as your love and faith comes toward us. As we're your feet and hands, wherever you place every individual here in Woodlawn, wherever each one of us goes, that we could be that individual that shows forth your love and your faith to others. But Lord, that it increases our love and our faith to you. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no one here that would ever lack in any of that. And that as we look at these scriptures, that it would increase our faith because we love you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to develop this in our lives. Bless the congregation here at Woodlawn, their testimony, their working together, their love for each other, their brotherhood, that it might continue to grow and that it would strengthen their faith in each other and in you. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Turn the time to